Over the past 10 years, we have held one Sunday service outside, and today is that day. And I think it's been 10 years exactly to be on the spot there. And we get this tent, and back in the old days, we had two tents. I think we had Dennis, a couple of tents we had to put together, a smaller, but now we've got this. And not that there's anything super spiritual about being outside. It's not like we're closer to God out here than we are inside that building, but it's a good reminder to us that God is not restricted or limited to a certain location. You know, he's not just fixed in a building, but we can also worship him outside as well. Jesus made that very clear when he spoke to the Samaritan woman in John 4 and said that it's not so much where you worship, but how you worship. And he told this woman that you were to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so if you are here today and you have the right heart, you want to seek God and you are seeking and desiring his truth, then you're coming here and you're worshiping God in spirit and truth. And those are the type of worshipers that the Father seeks, is what Jesus said. But we also need to know that there was a time in history when God, you could say, limited himself to a certain location where the people of God would have to go and meet with him. And so we want to look at that a little bit today. One example of this is found in Exodus chapter 33. If you do have your Bibles outside with you today, Exodus 33, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. And for those of you who haven't been here, we've been going through the life of Moses over the past 9 or 10 months or so. And as we continue with Moses, we'll see that Moses actually had a certain meeting with God. And it was also under a tent or in a tent. Again, Exodus 33, 7 through 11 says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." Once upon a time, we see that the people of Israel worship God in a tent. That was then, this is now. We too are able to worship God today under a tent. And so we want to look at some of the details of this passage today and then make some application to our own lives as well. Number one is this, is that we see for the people of Israel that anyone could go to this tent. Now that tent likely had sides on it, but anyone could go. We see this in verse 7. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting. Anyone would go. Now, it's certainly true that Moses had a unique relationship with God. When Moses went to the tent, stuff happened. I mean, that's just the way it was. A pillar of cloud came down. Everybody stood outside their own tents that they lived in, and they began to worship God because they knew Moses was getting some stuff from God that Moses was going to, in turn, give to them, impart to them. And so it was different, but yet everybody had the ability, or they could all go to this tent. And so too today, anyone can come to this tent of meeting, we can call it. There is no one, when you came in today in the parking lot, saying, excuse me, Arlene, do you have a ticket to get in today?
Yeah.
You got your ticket?
Yeah.
You do? I didn't give any tickets out. Where'd you get a ticket from?
Dennis gave
you a ticket. Okay. Dennis knew I was going to ask that question, so he passed out tickets. No, just kidding. But no one's preventing you from coming to this place of worship today. Anyone can come. And this is how it was for Israel as well. And though I realize that most of you here today already know Christ, you probably already have a relationship with Jesus, you want to worship him and get to know him deeper, the truth is, whenever we come, it ought to be open to anyone, regardless of their nationality, their race, or even their depth of sin. And why is that? Because a main message of the church is what? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they were to come, hopefully they would hear the good news about who Jesus is and about what he came to do for us. Hopefully they would do that. Hopefully, if you're here today and you've never encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, today would be the day that you have that incredible encounter. I think of the Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul, and many of you know the story of how Saul was out persecuting the church. He thought he was doing the right thing, the godly thing, until he had an encounter with God. He was blinded by a light, and he asked this question. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord spoke and said, "I am Jesus." He encountered Jesus that day, and his life was forever changed. He went on to be the Apostle Paul. He went on to preach the gospel of Christ. And listen to what he said to some idol-worshipping pagans in Athens one day. He said to them this, "God now commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man," referring to Jesus, "that he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." That comes out of Acts chapter 17. And so if you're here today and maybe you're just, quote, inquiring of the Lord, maybe you're curious, you have questions, or maybe even you're here but your heart is maybe running away from God, I pray that today would be the day that you repent. What does repent mean? It simply means to have a change of mind is what it means. And it's not just changing your mind in itself, but it also leads to a change in behavior, a change in the way you view the world, the way you view God, the way you view Christ. There's a great change that takes place, and this is what repentance is all about. And so Paul would urge these people who knew nothing about God and who were worshiping idols, he would say, turn away from lifeless idols and turn to the living God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if today you don't know Jesus, then my prayer is that just like Paul had that light from heaven that shone on him, that there would be a light of God's Spirit that would shine into your heart today, and you would see your need of Christ, your need of turning to him and believing in him by faith, trusting in him. The only way to be forgiven, the only way to have everlasting life is through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would repent, that you would return, that you would say, "Lord Jesus, I believe in you." Second thing I want us to note is that this tent was far away. We see that as Israel set up camp, the tent was outside the camp a bit. They had to go to it to worship God. Whoa, almost lost my stand there. We need to note that this is different than the tabernacle. Most of us have studied about the tabernacle. You can read about that in Exodus 25 through 30, all the details about how the Israelites would have their worship in the different rooms, who could enter, how they could enter, when they could enter. This seems to be a tent before that. In other words, before that tabernacle was constructed and set up and moved around as they went around, there was this other tent that was outside the camp. The tabernacle was actually in the midst of the camp of Israel. They all put their tents around the tabernacle. They worshiped there. This is a little different tent. Again, it was far off. It was outside the community. One of the beauties about being in Christ is the Bible says that we have been brought near. We've been brought near to God. And that is such an awesome truth that I pray we really understand. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:13, speaking to those who were outside the covenant of Israel, outside of the Jewish traditions. He says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." And again, that is such an awesome truth. And if you are in Christ today, I pray that your heart is just overflowing with thankfulness that through the grace of God, he's brought you near. You were once oh so far away, but he's brought you near. I want to reflect more on this idea of being brought near to God and what that means. I think most of us know the difference between near and far, right? How many grew up with Sesame Street? Anybody? Cookie Monster, Big Bird. I don't remember who it was that used to tell me this, but they would say, "Near?" "Far." "Near?" And then "Far." I'm not going to do it again. But that's how we learned what it was to be near and what it was to be far. And so in the context here, Paul is talking about salvation in Ephesians 2:13. He says, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were once way out there, apart from God. You didn't know God. And he's brought you near through the blood of Christ. And as we look at Paul's words in the scriptures, he often uses different phrases to describe the same thing. And when it comes to salvation, that's one way he describes it. You were once far away, now you're near. He says earlier in Ephesians 2 this, you were once dead in your trespasses and in your sins, but because of God's mercy, he's made you alive in Christ. That's the same thing, that's salvation again that he's hammering home. Listen to what he says to the Colossians when he speaks about their salvation experience. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There is so much in those two verses to unpack, but the picture is clear. Paul says, at one time you were alienated from God. You were actually an enemy of God, which means you weren't a friend of God. But through the grace of God and through the work of Christ and through faith in Christ, you are now a friend. You've been reconciled, which means to be made friends again. And the picture here is restoration, is what it is. And when we think back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned, what happened? The relationship with God was not the same, was it? It became shattered. It became different. And the idea here is this idea of the relationship restored with God, is what Paul says. You've been reconciled to God through the death of Christ. And again, it's all because of the blood of Christ. It is because of him that we are saved. It is because of him that we are alive. It is because of him that we are friends and that we are brought near. Once we've been brought near to God, now what? You say, okay, Pastor, I've come to faith in Christ. I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior. I know I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. No way to be saved except through Christ. I put my faith in him. Now what? Now stay near. Stay close. And that's a challenge. If you've been walking with the Lord for a while, right, you know that that is a challenge to stay close to the Lord, to stay near. How do we do that? There's lots of ways, but I just want to briefly give you three ways today to think about and hopefully to put into practice. Well, number one is this. It is through the Holy Spirit, or really through the power of the Spirit, that we're called to draw near, to stay near to God. We cannot do this in our own. We cannot do this with some fleshly determination, but it's through the Holy Spirit that we can draw near to God. The Bible is very clear that when anyone comes to Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within them. In fact, Paul said, if you don't belong to Christ, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, rather, then you do not belong to Christ. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. And the role of the Holy Spirit is not to give you goosebumps or chills down your spine. Now, he may do that at times, but that's not his primary purpose. His primary purpose is this, to make you and I look more like Jesus, to be more conformed to the image of Christ. If Jesus was walking around today, we'd want to act and think and do like he did. That's what the role of the Spirit is in us. That's why God gave us his Spirit. In fact, often the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of Christ. When Jesus went away, before he went away, actually, he told his disciples, hey guys, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you someone, another counselor, another Comforter. And the idea there of another is another just like me. It's like I'm here, but it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit who is with you. Jesus said this about the work of the Holy Spirit in John 16:14. He says this, he, referring to the Holy Spirit, who is a person, third person of the Godhead, will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. One of the things the Holy Spirit seeks to do is to bring glory to who? To Jesus, right? If we're exalting ourselves and we think we ought to get a lot of glory, that's not the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify Christ in us so that we continually say, hey, I just got to thank Christ for salvation. I just got to thank Christ for my family. I just got to thank Christ for what he's done, for what he's given me. That's what the Spirit wants to produce in you and I. And he also reveals truth. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth for that reason. The only way we're going to know God's truth is as we rely on the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that is a must. We need to depend upon him. We ask that the Holy Spirit really give us ears to hear. And you see Jesus often say that, for he who has ears to hear, let him hear, right? We want our ears open, which leads us to number two. We need to have our ears wide open if we're going to stay close to God. We sing that song, open the eyes, right? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to what? I want to see you. I'm thinking we should add another verse. Open the ears. Open the ears of my heart, Lord, because I want to hear you. I want to hear you, God. I want to hear what you have for me. When we look back at Moses and his time in this tent of meeting, what do we see? We see that Moses spoke with God as a man speaks with a friend, friend to friend. It wasn't this, you know, gigantic voice from heaven. I imagine it was just if Arlene and I just had a conversation right now and started talking, it was in that way that God spoke to Moses and Moses could speak to God. Imagine if you were Moses. Imagine if you had that opportunity to go into this tent. All right? I imagine there's curtains on it. People can't look inside, but there's God and you go in and you go into and you know you're going to talk with God. What would be your attitude? Would you say, hey, this is a really nice tent. Gee, what are we having for dinner later today? And no, your ears would be wide open, wouldn't they? You would be so eager to hear from God. You're in the presence of God. And so too, if we want to stay close to God, our ears need to be wide, wide open. Unfortunately, sometimes our ears perk up for the wrong things, don't they? Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what so-and-so? Oh, what was that? Oh, tell me more, right? We want to hear that when we hear this juicy piece of gossip. The Proverbs are true. Listen to what the Proverbs say. So the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. You know what a choice morsel is, right? This little sweet little thing that just goes down nice and easy. You know, you got to work at it like a Snickers bar. You got to crunch it, chew it a little while. No, the little morsel, it just... Right on down. That's like gossip. Just, what was that? Oh, that's sweet. That's good. Oh, that the Word of God would be a choice morsel to you and I. That when we hear the Word of God, it's like that. It just goes down easy and smooth and sweet because we want to stay close to God. Let me ask you, are your ears wide open to the voice of God? Now, I'm not saying you need to set up a tent later today in your backyard and hope that, you know, you start hearing voices. And if you do hear voices, you may want to actually come talk with me and maybe we can see what's going on there. Not that God couldn't audibly speak, but typically that's not the way he speaks. How does God speak? Mainly through here. He's not left us in the dark. He's given us his word. He's allowed us that the time to spend in it to get to know him better. Listen to how the writer of Hebrews describes the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." I pray that your ears would be wide open when it comes to the Word of God and what God is trying to speak to you and speak to me as well. Thirdly, final thing today, when we think about staying close to God, it's important to stress humility. You know, last week, if you were here, Jordan spoke a little bit on humility from James 4 and how important it is to be humble so that we don't fight and quarrel, because when we're proud, we typically fight and argue and whatnot. But the same is true for staying close to God and drawing near to God. We need that humility. In fact, that's what James would go on to say after stressing humility. He would say, draw near to God, and then he will draw near to you. But we need that humility still today. When we are puffed up, when we exalt ourselves, when we think we've got all the answers, when we think we're smarter than God, or when we doubt or question his wisdom, it's like we take these little cotton balls and we stick them in our ears, because we're not going to be able to hear too much when we're filled with pride. We're not going to be drawing close to God. We're actually going to be drifting away from God. That's what pride does. And we need to remember this, that humility is something that we need to continually practice. It's not enough to say, you know, back in 87, Brent, back in 87, is Brent here? There he is, back in 87. Back in 87, I was one humble guy. No, it needs to be continued. We can't just look back and say, yeah, I was humble back then, but it's a daily thing that we need to strive to be humble. The length of time that you have been a Christian does not necessarily equate to amount of humility. Did you know that? Or depth of spiritual growth. Just because you've been a Christian 10, 20, 30, 40 years does not mean that you're this deep with God. What helps us to go deep? Humility does. Humility helps the roots to go deep with God. You've often heard that coffee stunts your growth, right? How many heard that? How many believe that? I don't know if I believe that or not. I was drinking coffee at 4. Actually, I was drinking cream and sugar with a little bit of coffee at 4. But who knows? Maybe I'd be 6'5 if I didn't do that. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I do know this, that pride will stunt our spiritual growth. Humility will help us grow. When we begin to say, look at me, or look at my ministry, or look at my service, we begin to drift from the heart of Christ. And why is that? Because the heart of Christ was all about humility. In our scripture reading today out of John 13, why did Jesus wash Peter's feet? Why did Jesus say, I know we talked about this a few weeks ago in Sunday school, why did Jesus do that? Why did Peter say, Jesus rather say, unless I wash your feet, Peter, you'll have no part with me or no share with me. Why did he say that? He wanted Peter to learn the value, the importance of humility. That's why he did that. Jesus said this, Peter, I am getting low right now. I'm doing a menial task right now. I'm actually thinking of others and not myself in this moment. And I'm going to do this for you. And Peter, if you don't get this, you'll have no part in my ministry, because my ministry is about humbly serving other people. And so if you don't allow me to do this, you're not going to get it, Peter. So of course, Peter said, okay, look, then do the whole thing. Wash me all over. Peter had to learn the importance of being humble, a humble servant. And yet we live in a day where it is oh so easy to make it about us, isn't it? I mean, I just think of social media and how easy it is to have this platform where we can share my thoughts, my ideas, my profound statements, my this, my that. And don't get me wrong, if you're on Facebook and you put quotes, there may not be nothing wrong with that. But it's good to be reminded of this, that when we stand before God and he looks at a humble servant, he's going to say this, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not, hey, that was well said, man. What you put on Facebook, man, that was awesome. Again, not that you can't put things on Facebook and put good quotes and whatever. But you know what I'm getting at. True service, true humility, it's not about us. It's about what Christ is doing. Pray that you'd be focused on that. True humility seeks to be all that Christ would have us be. True humility seeks to stay close to Christ so that we might fade in the background. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for the time in your word. God, we thank you just for this gorgeous day that we can be outside and worship you, and to know that you've made everything. You are the creator of all things, from the furthest star to every blade of grass that is under our feet. God, you are creator, and we worship you, God, as the one who's made all things, as the one who has made us and given us life. God, we thank you for not only giving us physical life, but giving us spiritual life through Christ. Jesus, thank you so much for your blood. Thank you for what it means. God, help us to rely upon your Spirit, to walk humbly with you. and to just have wide open ears to hear what you want to say. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.